I'm going to read to you Stephen King's way of describing vomit. Okay, just wait for it. You will know why. I'm a writer myself, so I really appreciate that. Here we go. Okay, wait. I'm opening my book. So Tina starts feeling sick around the time Morris is strolling up the late Drew Holiday's driveway and seeing his old pal's car parked inside his garage. Tina hardly slept at all last night because she's so worried about how Pete will take the news that she ratted him out. Her breakfast is sitting in her belly like a lump. And all at once, while Mrs. Sloan is performing Annabelle Lee, Mrs. Sloan in the bracket, Mrs. Sloan never just reads. That lump of undigested food starts to crawl up her throat and towards the exit. She raises her hand. It seems like to weigh at least 10 pounds, but she holds it up until Mrs. Sloan raises her eyes. Yes, Tina, what is it? She sounds annoyed, but Tina doesn't care. She's beyond caring. I feel sick. I need to go to the girls. Then go, by all means, but hurry back. Tina scatters from the room. Some of the girls are giggling at 13. Unscheduled bathroom visits are always amusing. But Tina's too concerned with that rising lump to feel embarrassed. Once in the hall, she breaks into a run, heading for the bathroom halfway down the hall as fast as she can. But the lump is faster, and she doubled over before she can get there and vomits her breakfast all over her sneakers. Mrs. Hoggetsy, the school's head janitor, is just coming up the stairs. He sees her stagger backwards from the steaming puddle of oopsie and trouts towards her. His tool belt jingling. Hey girl, you okay? Tina gropes for the wall with an arm just feels made of plastic. The world is swimming. Part of that is because she had vomited hard enough to bring tears to her eyes, but not all. She wishes with all her heart that she hadn't let Barbara persuade her into talking to Miss Hodges, that she had left Pete alone to work out whatever was wrong. What if he never speaks to her again? I'm fine, she says. I'm sorry, I made a mess. But the swimming gets worse before she can finish. She doesn't exactly faint, but the world pulls away from her, becomes something she's looking at through a smudged window rather than something she's actually in. She slides down the wall, amazed by the sight of her own knees, clad in green tights, coming up to meet her. That is when Mr. Hoggetsy scoops her up and carries her downstairs to the school nurse's office. Now, would you appreciate how Mr. King describes somebody's vomit? It integrated both the tension between how she felt. This is not just indigestion, this is also psychological, and all the stress, and how a 13 years old dealing with stress and the undigested breakfast just coming up becomes a lump. And this lump could be metaphorically, you know, the stress and also the food. And also mentioned how 13 years old felt when somebody had an unscheduled bathroom visit. And all these things putting together, it's just amazing. And all of this is just about vomiting, puking. Amazing. Awesome. Okay. learn. Another reading session, I would call it, and also from Stephen King, because that's the thing I'm currently reading. It's wonderfully written, so of course it's wonderfully written, otherwise why would I want to share? This is from The Finders Keepers. Guess what? Turns out I've never read this book. I always thought I had finished this Bill Hodges trilogy years ago, but it turns out I've never read it. I guess I was too put off by the first book, which is Mr. Mercedes, and to continue this journey. And I've never really read Finders Keepers, nor did I read End of Watch. That's the book I'm currently on. But anyways, I'm glad that I picked it up because I had so much time during this lockdown. No, it's already not lockdown anymore, but I just got plenty of free time on my hands at this moment. And yeah, the thing is, I finished If It Bleeds, and then of course the leading, it's a novella, but the main story is from this Bill Hodges trilogy, and mostly it's about Holly. That's one of my favorite characters right now. And then I've read The Outsider, and then it leads me back to this trilogy, and I'm glad now I'm picking it up. So I just finished Finders Keepers. Anyways, anyhow, the excerpt, going back to the excerpt I'm going to read to you, that's the one, a little bit spoiler alert, I guess, because it's all the way towards the end, when Linda is this, if you haven't read it, it's the mother figure, okay, who was shot, being shot by this, let's call it the villain of this book, just being shot, and the villain is taking her daughter as a hostage, and because, anyways, a lot of bargains with her son. But anyways, the mother has been shot. And then this excerpt is basically describing that lingering moment or state when you are about to, you know, to be taken out of your life, you know, when your life is about to be taken out, and you're not yet dead, you have a little bit conscious remained in you, but that kind of struggle, and it's quite wonderfully written. I guess it hit me quite hard when I thought she was going to die, but it turns out maybe she's not, but I don't want to spoil it too much. You have to read to find out. But this paragraph, or this whole section, it hit me quite hard. I could say I was pretty gutted when I read this part. But later, when a lot more story or plots being revealed, it kind of toned down a little bit for me. I mean, the level of... But I still want to share, I guess, yeah. So hopefully you enjoy. And towards the end of this episode, I also want to share some of my recent updates, some experiences I recently had, and I want to say thank you to a specific human being, a wonderful, most fantastic, not the most fantastic, but it just reminded me how wonderful people are. Yeah, still good people out there, you know, it just brings a lot of faith in humanity for me. I don't know if that's the right way to put it, but anyways, take that. If you like to listen to that part, it's the last 5 minutes. It's basically like my thank you letter to this wonderful human being. Okay, so let's get into this excerpt. Linda comes to staring at the ceiling. She knows where she is, Tom's office, but not what has happened to her. The right side of her head is on fire, and when she raises a hand to her face, it comes away wet with blood. The last thing she can remember is Peggy Moran telling her that Tina has gotten sick at school. Go get her and take her home, Peggy. Peggy has said, I'll cover this. No, she remembers something else, something about the mystery money. I was going to talk to Pete about it, she thinks. Get some answers. I was playing solitaire on Tom's computer. And just killing time while I waited for him to come home. And then black. Now, this terrible pain in her head, like a constantly slamming door, it's even worse than the migraines she sometimes gets, worse even than childbirth. She tries to raise her head and manages to do it, but the world starts going in and out with her heartbeat, first sucking, then blooming, each oscillation accompanied by such god-awful agony. She looks down and sees the front of her gray dress has changed to a muddy purple. She thinks, oh God, that's a lot of blood. Have I had a stroke? Some kind of brain hemorrhage? Surely not. Surely those only bleed on the inside, right? But whatever it is, she needs help. She needs an ambulance. But she can't make her hand go to the phone. It lifts, trembles, and drops back to the floor. She hears a yelp of pain from somewhere close, then crying she'd recognize anywhere, even while dying, which she suspects she may be. It's Tina. She managed to prop herself up on one bloody hand, enough to look out the window. She sees a man hustling Tina down the back steps into the yard. Tina's hands are tied behind her. Oh, Linda forgets about her pain, forgets about needing an ambulance. A man has broken in, and he's now abducting her daughter. She needs to stop him. She needs the police. She tries to get into the swivel chair behind the desk, but at first she can only pull at the seat. She does a lunging sit up, and for a moment the pain is so intense the world turns white. But she holds onto the consciousness and grabs the arms of the chair. When her vision clears, she sees the man opening the back gate and shoving Tina through, herding her like an animal on its way to the slaughterhouse. Bring her back, Linda screams. Don't you hurt my baby. But only in her head. When she tries to get up, the chair turns and she loses her grip on arms. The world darkens. She hears a terrible gagging sound before she blacks out and has time to think. Can that be me? The person I would like to thank helped me when I was driving from, let's say, place A to place C. Okay, I didn't really want a specific zeroing on the journey, but the person, okay. On an incredible stressful day in the middle of the lockdown, okay. So my car was packed to the roof with all my personal belongings and two cats, honestly, that was sitting in the booth. And as a result, the car was incredibly heavy, okay. And it was a rainy day, not surprised. And I had just said goodbye to my family and friends. And I hadn't slept a huge amount of the sleep I owed to myself. Well, yeah, I hadn't slept properly the night before. So anyways, I have driven all the way from A place to B place, and I stopped at the B place to basically refuel my car, and you know, before I thought just a little rest wouldn't hurt. And one thing led to another, you know, just parked the car and locked the door and walked into the gas station. And also I decided to buy some snacks, mostly just to get a warm drink to warm myself up a bit. It was a rainy day. So I get a cup of coffee, and all of a sudden, the owner of the petrol station approached me from behind and said, "Excuse me, miss, your vehicle." And I was so shocked, that because I had no idea why on earth would he come up to me and talk to me. So yes, I responded with like a million, I'm not joking, a million thoughts or speculations or hypotheses running through my head, like literally a million thoughts in my head. I was like, what the heck? And then he said, I could see a little bit of annoyance in this very kind face. And yeah, he said, "It's just your car, you know, had rolled all the way down the slope and nearly hit the front glass door of the petrol station." And yeah, then I realized it's been standing on the incline. Clearly, I hadn't pulled the handbrake in the car all the way down, and it basically just rolled down the slope. And then, as I was just looking and kind of like hypnotized by all these things, he pointed to a gentleman who's basically just paying for his fuel and said, "This man over here stopped your car from rolling right into the building." And I forgot what the rest of the things he said, but I remember I just gave a sort of like feeble wave of gratitude towards this man. And I guess I was just too knackered and too confused on that day to fully realize just how much he had helped me. And without him, my journey would absolutely have stopped there. I mean, place B, and I probably would have to pay a massive bill, including the debts for these two very traumatized cats. But I made it to the final destination, the place C, the following day in one piece. And I was, at that moment, I was just so grateful, because that none of this would have happened without this fantastic human being who had helped my car with basically his bare hands. And I guess I just I hope that you're listening to this, whoever and wherever you are, thank you so much, really, for saving my life. I mean, for saving me, saving my car, and making that journey possible. Making that journey possible on that day. Yeah, that's my thank you experience.